But the call is clear and the task is set, and my enemy's way in the dark sky. Do they feel the same fear? Do they dream like God?
Joining us now on the PMP Network is Kerry Livgren. He is, of course, a longtime member of the group Kansas, and actually then he was out of Kansas, now he's in Kansas, and we'll find out the whole story, but they do have a brand new CD out, and it is excellent. It's called Somewhere to Elsewhere, and it's on Magna Carta Records. Really nice CD. It actually sounds like some of the old stuff that they did years ago that I, and of course all of you, thoroughly enjoyed. Let's talk right now to Kerry. Hi, Kerry.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
This is a nice CD.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what we try to do.
Now, let me ask you a question. Now, you left the group, didn't you, at one point?
Yeah, I kind of been the long-term, on-again, off-again member of Kansas.
Why is that? Why? Why did you do that, Kerry?
I could write a novel. actually, I did. Well, I first left in 83, but... you know, you got to understand, that was after a period of 14 solid years with the band, which is a pretty long run for anybody in any band, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, Steve Walsh was already gone, Robbie Steinhardt was gone, and I really felt like the band had run its course at that point, that we had lost so much of what made Kansas Kansas that there wasn't any point in continuing, and... on top of that, I was just really anxious to do something different with my life. You know, I'd been in Kansas for 14 years, and I was working on a solo album that I had done for CBS and started working with some different musicians, and we just really clicked, and that's how my band AD formed.
How did AD do?
Well, we did good in the arena that we were working in. We were kind of the one of the pioneer bands in contemporary Christian music. There really wasn't much of a contemporary Christian music scene going on at that time. And AD, we were together about 4 years and did four CDs.
Hmm. What, and that was on Sony?
No, that was on a label called Kerygma, which was part of Sparrow Records.
Oh. Because, you know, that kind of music actually has done pretty well, groups like Point of Grace and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, of course, there's a whole thriving music scene there, but we were pioneers at the time.
Mm. And so when did you come back to Kansas?
Well, that's a rather complicated answer, again, because I've been in and out of various activities that the band has done over the years. I guess it was 1990, the guys called me and said, hey, we're going to go do a European tour, no strings attached, how would you like to come along? And so Dave Hope and I, who had both left the group at that point in time, rejoined up with the band and went and did a European tour, and then when we came back to the States in 91, I toured with them all around the United States in 91, and then over the years I've contributed songs. I had a song on the box set that we put together, I think that was in 95, and I wrote a new piece for their Freaks of Nature album, so you know, I've been never completely severed from the group, I guess.
Hmm. Now, on the they're doing another tour. They just did one in July. Are they still doing that right now?
I think the tour with Yes just ended, and they've got some more dates. The band almost never stops touring. It's one of the most touring bands I think the United States has ever produced.
Did you go on that tour?
No. Well, I did play the Kansas City show.
Yeah.
But no, I did not go on the tour. I'm kind of a studio animal. I'm the guy that hangs out in the cave here and writes music and... That's really what I do best.
You don't really like going on the road?
Well, I did for about 20 years.
I know that, yeah.
I guess I should say I had my fill of living out of a suitcase. And I've got a lot of other activities. First of all, my family. I mean, I came home. My daughter was born in 1980. And I came home from a tour, and she wasn't really sure who I was. And I said, that's it. You know, this is irreplaceable here. I got to be a dad. Sorry, guys. There were a lot of reasons. You know, people ask me, why did you leave? It was just a whole series of reasons that all stacked up. And here in Kansas, I've got my studio business. I've got an independent record label. I live on a ranch, which takes quite a bit of my time. So it's very difficult for me to just pack up in a suitcase and leave.
You know, I was just got on the phone a few minutes with Steve Walsh, and one of the things he said to me I thought was very interesting. He said, if you really want to make it in rock and roll, then you have to give up everything. You have to give up your family, you have to give up a day job, everything, and just concentrate 100% on that, and that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Did you find that was true, too?
Well, there was a point in, you know, when we were young men and we were single and we had, you know, the band was my life. There was nothing else that consumed all my time, and I was obsessed with it. But, you know, there came a point, at least for me, when I realized there's a lot of other things that are very important in life, and I'm not sure I agree with Steve that you have to give up the band to do that. I've had an arguably successful music career, I think, all my life. I've continued to produce CDs that sell well enough to keep me in the black. And I'm a stay-at-home dad.
Really? And does your daughter have any musical inclination?
Yes, she plays in, she loves classical music and Broadway-type music, and she plays the viola.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any other children?
Got a 10-year-old son.
And is he musically inclined as well?
No, if you ever read Huckleberry Finn, then you know all about him.
Uh-huh. Because I was reading here, and where did I see this thing? I thought I saw somewhere someone with the last name at Livgren doing background vocals or something.
Now, that's my nephew, Jacob. Yeah, he's all over this.
Jake and Jessica are both in here.
Right, that's his sister. That's my niece and my nephew.
Uh-huh.
And they came into the studio, and they're both extremely talented singers, which I don't know where they got that from, because they didn't get it from me. And they sing just fantastic. And actually, Jake sang the demo vocals for all the songs on the New Kansas album.
Wow. So possibly the niece and nephew could end up being new Livgrens in the business, huh?
Well, I think they already have. Jake is the primary singer on my new solo CD.
We don't have that here. Is that out yet at this point?
Yeah, it just came out. It's called Collector's Sedition Volume 1. If you want, give me an address. I'll make sure you get one.
Yeah, I'll do that after the interview's over. But for folks who are listening who want to get one, is there a website they can get it at, or...?
Yeah, numavox.com, NUMAVOX.
NUMAVUX?
VOX.
Numavox. Numavox.com.
That's my record label.
Okay. We'll put that in there, and we'll see if we can put a little link to it on our website for you.
That's always cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Hey, well, tell me a little bit about the CD. Unfortunately, I don't know anything about it. I've got Steve's solo one here, but I don't have yours.
Well, what actually happened was about 2 years ago, I went through this amazing, prolific writing period. They seem to come every decade or so. I don't know why. I wish I did. But I just began to write more material than I even knew what to do with. And I was working on this solo CD, and about half the material that I was coming up with, I kind of set it aside because I thought, you know, this sounds so much like Kansas that it's almost eerie. And finally, I got in touch with the guys in the band. I said, hey, you know, I just finished my new CD, but I'm sitting here with another whole CD's worth of material that just sounds so much like Kansas, I can't believe it. They go, oh, really? So we need to talk. So we started talking about it, and I sent them the material, and they just flipped. They said, wow, this is just a Kansas album. You know, what do you think? I said, well, I'm up for it, but I'd like to see the original band get back together. Number one, and number two, I think Kansas should do this album in Kansas. So they came back here to my studio, and that's how the album came about. And the rest of the material that came from that same pool of songs that I came up with is what Collector's Edition Volume 1 is.
Hmm. I'll tell you what hit me right off the bat was Little Icarus 2. I mean, as soon as you hear that thing, it's like, whoa, you transformed back in time.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, nobody in the band, and I think we'd all agree, made a conscious effort to be retro or anything like that. We were thinking this is a new Kansas album, but for me, you know, not having actually written a Kansas album in quite some time, it just came out that way. It was very natural. There was no attempt to try to recreate what we used to sound like. That CD that you have that's who we are now.
And who you are now sounds real good.
Well, if you like Kansas music, there's plenty of it on there.
I love Kansas music, and this is legit Kansas. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's going to do real, real well. Now, it's the new CD you got out. You got this the new CD with Kansas. Are you working on another one at this point too, or are you going? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm kind of taking a breather. You know, I did two CD projects back to back. Literally the day I finished mine and mastered it, the next morning we started on the Kansas album. So I'm taking a bit of a hiatus right now. I never stop making music, but sometimes there's periods when you know, you just got to step back away from it for a while and then get back at it.
I'll ask you what I asked Steve earlier about what was it like to you know, be a Topeka kid, Kansas kid, all of a sudden you know, catapulting to the top of the charts and being this, you know, huge icon for everybody. Was it a tough adjustment, and how did the people in the band react to it?
Well, you know, we didn't think it would be a tough adjustment. You have this pie in the sky sort of goal, and of course it was very much against the odds for us. We're, you know, Topeka's a great place to be a kid, but it's not exactly the entertainment capital of the world, and so we had an uphill battle. And but the curious thing is, when you finally get there, for us it was like, okay, what do we do now? This has been our whole, the drive of our life, to be successful musicians, and now that it's arrived. So it doesn't always affect people in a positive way. Sometimes, you know, suddenly you find yourself without a dream, which was the thing that motivated you, and I think eventually that really ate away at the band, and it was real tough for some of the guys. Went through some real struggles.
Well, I understand from Steve that the money thing also was a huge shock for people.
It was definitely a shock for us, because we were poor as church mice, and literally overnight, you know, we were buying houses and cars, and that's pretty tough for a young guy to deal with, because most people don't think about it, but along with the money comes an awful lot of responsibility, and I'm not sure we were ready for that.
And of course, the adoration of the fans.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that was, you know, that's a dangerous thing too. If you allow it to, it can go to your head, and you know, you can really start to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. So there's a lot of things that about life that really change that come along with success.
Yeah. Do you miss those days of doing the big stadiums and all that?
Yes and no. I guess I would say that the part of it that I miss is the hour and a half that you step onto the stage and you actually play. The problem is the other 23 and a half hours of the day are pretty tough. You know, it's nothing but hotel rooms and airports, and so I don't miss that part of it, but you know, if I could just go back and pick and choose the parts of it that I like, it would be great.
Well, the groupies must have been fun.
Yeah, for a while.
But after a while, as Simon and Garfunkel once said, each town looks the same to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they do. You know, you wake up in the morning in a hotel room, and you always hear the joke. But there were times when literally I had to stop and think and try to remember where I was.
Now, for folks who want to get your solo CD, they can go to numavox.com and get that. Are you going to also be selling the Kansas stuff on there too?
No, because it's a you know, Numavox is an independent label, so I can sell anything I want there except. If I sell things from another label, I'm just acting as a retailer. So so basically, the Kansas album should be available at any retail outlet or any of the big internet retailers.
Yeah, we're actually been sending them to Magna Carta.
That's right.
.net.
Yeah.
Which is their website.
Right.
And I want to thank you so much for coming on, Kerry.
Hey,
and
my pleasure.
I want to wish you a lot of luck, because I can tell you've got tons and tons of music still in you, and you know, keep it going, keep it flowing.
I don't know how to do much else, so I'll stay at it.
Well, you're doing a great job. We appreciate it, and good luck. Hopefully, the new CDs will do real well for you.
Thanks.
Take care.
You too.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.